Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I want you all to listen up. This is important stuff, all right?
Okay. Here we go.
The Bald-Faced Truth.
Call 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750 or text to 64636.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a Bald-Faced Truth, brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. In need of getting your plant or machinery job done right the first time and on time? Then call High Caliber today.
Get your bracket out. Chad Millman, Action Network, joining us. He's going to make you smarter when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Chad, you going to come through for us here?
John, I'm going to do my best.
Tell us, when you see the bracket come out, where does your mind or eyes go immediately?
It immediately goes to my wallet, thinking about all the cash I'm going to earn during the NCAA tournament. I would say, first I look at I look for the teams that I believe throughout the season are undervalued when it comes to the selection committee, which I think historically has proven it puts too much credence in program reputation and too little credence in how well teams do throughout the year, regardless of the name on the front of their jersey. And so you can look at a team like Cincinnati, which arguably is underseeded, even though they're a 2 seed. You could look at them and be like, wow, this team was phenomenal all year and can play both sides of the ball. Could probably be a number one seed. Or you could look at a team like Arizona State, which gets in because they beat Kansas early in the year and Xavier early in the year, but then kind of faded. Same with Oklahoma. So I try to think about where's the opportunity going to be based on the metrics that I follow, what I know gamblers are thinking about, and the committee, which generally looks at this through the prism of public perception and sort of what squares think about.
I think that's an interesting perspective, because you see Arizona State get in, and everybody who watches the Pac-12 in this part of the country is like, what are they looking at? Like, that was not on my radar. I thought USC would get in, Arizona State would not.
Yeah. It's like, who knows what the committee is thinking about? They say they're thinking about strength of schedule over an entire season. And so that's why they're counting Oklahoma as such a high seed and getting in, even though they lost 11 of their last 15, or Arizona State because of those 2 wins we talked about earlier. It's actually an interesting juxtaposition, because the College Football Playoff Committee, they actually account for teams getting better over the course of the year. And it seems like this year, at least by what the reasoning is from the selection committee for college basketball, they actually weren't giving teams credit for getting better over the year and weren't taking away credit for teams getting worse, which I think does a disservice to teams that sort of play better and become better teammates and more cohesive units over the course of a 3 to 4 month season.
Which is the goal, right? I mean, that's kind of the point of having a season.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, you want the teams that are playing the best at the time that you want to see the best in competition. You know, it's too bad you don't get a team like St. Mary's. It's too bad you don't get Louisville. It's too bad you don't get Notre Dame. But you're getting Syracuse, and you're getting Arizona State. You're getting Alabama, which, you know, had a losing record in its conference. You're getting Oklahoma, which faded significantly at the end of the college basketball season.
We're talking to Chad Millman, former Sports Illustrated reporter and CNNSI correspondent, now with the Action Network. This bracket comes out, and I do the same thing you do. I look at Kansas, and I go, Kansas is overseeded. Like, who's going to knock out Kansas? Why do you think the committee valued some brand names but not others?
Well, I think part of it has to do with, you know, do they win their conference title? And certainly Kansas did that. Which brand name do you think they didn't sort of prescribe any value to?
Well, I saw Louisville on the bubble, and I thought Louisville suffered a curious fate when compared to USC, and when I look at the FBI and the DOJ investigation, and I wondered if the committee was just saying, we don't want to deal with that.
I bet, well, I think that's a different, that's not apples to apples, though, to me, because, like, you could say, did the committee value Kansas over Duke? Because both teams got in and, like, could be relatively high-seeded and sort of are somewhat unscathed by the investigation. Louisville didn't do itself any favors with sort of the season that it had either, and, like, had too many losses and, you know, came down as a legit bubble team that probably should have made it but didn't. And I do think it's because of some of the baggage. But Kansas is one of those teams where, because they win their conference every year, and because they've had success, you know, in the tournament in the past, they legitimately get overseeded entirely because of public perception. And they're a team that could just as easily lose in the second round to Seton Hall or to North Carolina State if their, you know, three-point game is off. And so that's where I think the selection committee plays a little bit like the general betting public and only bets the favorites, so to speak, when it comes time to making these choices and to seeding teams.
We're talking to Chad Millman with the Action Network. What are you guys doing right now? What kind of tools are you offering on your website?
Oh, man, we got so much good stuff right now. We have a bracket simulator. So let's say you want to make a bracket entirely based on the highest percentage upsets. You can do that. If you want to make a bracket based entirely on the highest percentage favorites, you can do that. If you want to do it based on Ken Pomeroy's ratings, KenPom.com is a really popular website that looks at sort of high-level analytics and metrics. You can make it based on that. You can make it based on ESPN ratings. Any way you want to make a bracket, you can go to the simulator and make it. But we've also got sort of, as soon as the brackets came out last night, we had analysis on every game from two different perspectives, a betting perspective, who do we think is going to cover, and a bracket perspective, who do we think is going to advance. Because oftentimes, you know, those are separate things. A team can easily cover against the point spread, but they're not going to win the game. So, but we also, you know, we simulated the tournament 10,000 times through one of our machines to see who was going to win and who has sort of the best percentage chances to win over the course of the tournament. We have the most overseeded and underseeded teams. Who do we think sort of the lower seeds that have a better chance of beating the higher seeds that have a better chance of beating the lower seeds? You know, those 12-5, 11-6 matchups. So, man, you can get it all. There's no way you can't fill out a bracket in the right way if you go to actionnetwork.com.
It's been suggested by some that the USC snub should be investigated. Do you buy that, or do you think, hey, look, this is sports, and at some point we've got to put the decisions in the hands of a committee?
Well, do you mean, like, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Like, some people are saying that, you know, the selection committee should be pressed on what really went on with USC not getting in. But I look at, you know, USC went 0-5 against the three teams from the conference that did get in. So I think, you know, you could put that up, you know, and others are saying, look, there has to be some, you know, maybe the committee really didn't put USC in because they didn't want to deal with the FBI DOJ thing. Or maybe the Pac-12, got snubbed. But it's just the fact that USC didn't get in with an RPI of like 34 and a strength of schedule at 36, they're not among the top 68 teams?
No. Look, I don't disagree with you on that. And I think it has more to do with their conference. Like, it's impossible to say what's happening inside the committee room.
Yeah.
And no one there is going to come out and say, we made this decision because of any potential improprieties that USC is going to get tagged for at some point down the road. They're going to say they made it based on how they did in the conference. and that they went winless against teams that did make it. And, you know, there's going to be conspiracy theorists when it comes to the selection committee. And there's going to be some people who get so angry about it. And the thing is, it's going to last for about 72 hours.
Yeah.
And then the games are going to happen and none of it's going to matter because people are going to start focusing on the games. That's just what people have to get excited about now is like USC got screwed. Notre Dame got screwed. St. Mary's didn't get in. But the truth is, at the end of the day, none of it's going to matter as soon as they start playing real games on Thursday.
Chad Millman is with us, the Action Network. More opportunities betting in the early round games with some big mismatches and maybe some upsets? Or as the tournament progresses, how does that change?
Oh, so much better in the early rounds. You know, it's like the market is flooded with square money. And what that means is it's like the Super Bowl. You know, we spoke before the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like a lot of people come in on the public side and they start betting the team that everybody else is betting. And it changes what the point spread is in a lot of games. So, you know, very good example, like Miami and Loyola Chicago is a game where Miami is a popular team. They're generally ranked in the top 25. Like from a bracket advancement perspective and from a betting perspective, there's going to be more people betting on Miami than there are Loyola Chicago. But wise guys are going to be all over Loyola Chicago because they know this team. They've seen this team. They think they've got a great point guard who can mess with Miami's sort of man-to-man defense in the way they switch, and it'll be a matchup nightmare for them when someone who can't handle that point guard is on this guy and he can make some plays. New Mexico State, another one of those teams that in the 12-5 matchup that is a great rebounding team that, you know, wise guys are going to think will give Clemson a really hard time, but bettors, sort of square bettors who are in Vegas for the weekend that are going to be able to move money and move numbers are going to just think 12-5, it's Clemson, I'm going to bet on the favorite there. So that's where you find the real betting opportunities. It's also where you find the real opportunity to bust somebody else's bracket is when you're thinking about the Murray State over the West Virginias or the New Mexico States over Clemson or Loyola Chicago over Miami. Those are the big opportunities. The longer the tournament goes, the better the numbers get and the harder it is for anybody to make any real money on point spread bets.
I had two knee-jerk thoughts when I saw the bracket. One, I say Gonzaga, put him in the Sweet 16. I love the path that they have. You know, even beyond that, being in that side of the bracket, I love their path. Two, I looked at Purdue and the way they played early, and I wondered if the rest that Purdue has had now is their friend. And yeah, I wondered if they're not a team that that you could pick going all the way. What did you have any knee jerk reactions when you saw the bracket?
I actually agreed with both of those. My knee jerks were that the committee gave zero respect to Virginia as the number one overall seed by putting them in the bracket. I think they've got Kentucky. I think they've got Arizona. I think they might have Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Cincinnati to me is a Final Four caliber team, and only one team is going to make it from that region. So I think they did a service to Virginia. I was disappointed to see that Michigan State and Kentucky or Duke could potentially meet in the Sweet 16. I thought that was sort of a mismatch in terms of the committee not keeping two high-profile teams like that separate. I thought Purdue had a pretty easy draw and actually liked Cincinnati's draw until it potentially faces Virginia. But those were my knee jerks. I don't disagree with you about Purdue or Gonzaga.
Chad Millman, the Action Network. Chad, I appreciate you, man.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me on.
There he is. You heard my knee jerk reactions. I want yours. When you saw the bracket, what were your initial thoughts, your guts? Because what is it? Malcolm Gladwell tells us, you know what, you should trust that first glance, right? So what was that first glance thought that you had when you looked at the bracket? Give it to us at 503-417-7575.
More John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth, brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights.
Give me your takeaway on the NCAA tournament. What'd you think when you saw the bracket? Because I thought, oh, USC, I feel bad for you. That's new. That's a new thought. I don't feel bad for USC. Kind of obnoxious. And I suddenly felt bad for USC. Then I thought, well, the Pac-12 had a crappy season. And look at that. Look at those play-in games that were reserved for those have-nots to get into the tournament. Suddenly, we've got the Pac-12 dominating the play-in games. Then I thought, wow, look at Gonzaga's path. Put them in the Sweet 16 right now. They will have no trouble on the opening couple of games of this tournament. As a 4 seed out west, pretty good draw for Gonzaga. And then I looked at Purdue. And Purdue, and we've talked about him on this show, and maybe Jerry Palm of CBS Sports is guilty of infecting my brain. But he started talking about their 5 seniors. And I started looking at their games and looking at the 16 straight games they won earlier this year. And certainly if you would have picked the bracket in January, Purdue would have been a 1 seed. Purdue kind of ran out of gas down the stretch, looked tired. They're a jump shooting team. And the knock on them may be they're one off night away from being excused from the tournament. And we've seen this happen. But I also kind of think that the rest that they've had and the fact that there's been a delay here now between the end of the regular season, the conference tournament, and now the NCAA tournament, which starts officially. When do we say it starts? People will say, oh, it starts tomorrow or whatever. Nah.
The tournament starts on Thursday.
Thursday, right? What are you going to do Thursday?
Thursday, I'm going to be watching basketball all day. That's when the tournament starts.
I kind of feel like they just play these games to finalize the bracket, right?
I can say I have never watched a play-in game.
I've watched it, but I also don't consider it part of the tournament. I consider it as much a part of the tournament as the conference championship games, right? Because those are play-in games. But once it gets to 64, then it begins. And people get mad, like the purists who want me to follow the rules with what is the tournament, I'll say it starts Thursday. And Gliss, you're right. It starts Thursday. What were your takeaways when you saw the bracket? First thing you thought when you saw the bracket, or as you looked at it more, what did you take away? I want to hear from you at 503-417-7575. Some good things going on in sports. The Blazers go for 10 straight tonight. Beat the Warriors on Friday. Enjoyed a nice weekend. Hold a 2-game lead over the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, and the Thunder for the 3rd seed in the Western Conference. I said something ridiculous last night on KGW Sports Sunday. I said, the question was, are the Blazers, this year's Blazers, better than the 2013-2014 Blazers or the 2008-2009 Blazers? Both those teams won 50-plus games. And I said, well, we don't even know if this team's a playoff team yet. So why are we having this discussion? And people are like, well, of course they're a playoff team. I don't think we could say that about anybody in the West right now. The Blazers are 3 games away from being out of the playoffs. They have a tougher schedule than some of the other teams chasing them. And the margin of victory or the margin of error here is very tight. It feels like a little bit like election night. You know what I mean? I gathered the girls around. I said, we're going to have history. We're going to watch a woman get elected president. Girls, I want you to be in this room when this historic moment happens. Then the returns started coming in. And then the kids were like, let's watch something else. The 15-year-old predicted it, though, by the way, on election night. Before all the returns came in, she said, I think the guy's going to win. And I said, whoa, no, it's not. We're here for history. Get an ice cream cone. Come on, let's gather around this historic moment. And then in disbelief, she's like, yeah, I told you. I said, how did you know? She said, because kids in my class were saying, talking politics in the class. And I thought, wow, should start listening to these kids. But the Blazers are not yet in the playoffs. So let's not have that premature discussion, because I feel like we're setting ourselves up. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? Yes. I think they have about a 90% chance of making the playoffs. So I would say they are probably a playoff team. But they are a bad stretch or a bad run or a bad 10 days away from being on that bubble. And I don't think we want to get to the point where we're saying they are the 3 seed, because they're certainly in a race right now. two-game lead over the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, and the Thunder. They have a tougher schedule, that I think, than two of those three teams. And guess what? Utah, that's sitting on the outside of the top eight in the Western Conference, has a soft schedule. And frankly, there's a game late in the season that Utah plays Golden State, and everybody's like, well, they play Golden State second-to-last game. And I'm like, yeah, but is Golden State going to be playing guys or not? They play the Lakers twice. And by the way, if you look at Utah's schedule, Droz, can you pull up Utah's schedule? I want to say their next four are like, gimme, 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 gimme. And that creates a problem for somebody in the West. I'm not saying it's the Blazers' problem, but somebody in the Western Conference is going to get caught by Utah. Utah's making the playoffs. Who does Utah play in the next four or five?
Detroit, Phoenix, Sacramento, Atlanta, Dallas.
W's. Like, you're Utah? Like, Utah should be holding, like, hey, we're taking reservations and deposits right now on playoff tickets. 503-417-7575. I want your gut reaction when you saw the bracket come out. Larry's in Eugene. Go ahead, Larry.
Yes, I'm just wondering if anybody in the NCAA committee to pick the bracket saw Pac-12 basketball for during January, February, March.
No, I don't think they did.
To even consider Arizona State is ludicrous. Just ridiculous. I think those two words are almost the same. But
yeah.
Because Arizona State, of course, they got swept by Oregon. They got beat by Oregon State. But they lost to Stanford. They lost to Colorado first game of the tournament. They got beat by Arizona twice. I mean, you could have a better case to pick Oregon in, which did not deserve to go, the Ducks. But yet, they showed up better than Arizona State during January, February, and March. And USC, there's nobody in the Pac-10 that would want to play them right now. And I think they could beat, USC could beat half the teams in the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So can UCLA.
I think USC could have been a Sweet 16 team. Could have been. I also think they went 0-5 against the three teams from the conference that got into the tournament, and that killed them. And Arizona State had, for better or worse, a couple of victories in the early part of the season with everybody healthy against highly seeded teams, like number one seed, candidates. And the committee took that into consideration. Now, you can take away the takeaway that Larry just did, where he said, I don't think they were watching, and I would buy that. Like, maybe they weren't watching. But I also think, had Oregon just won a couple of more games, because, they had two wins over Arizona State, they split with UCLA, they split with Arizona. If Oregon had just won a couple of more games, I mean, wasn't the committee kind of telling Oregon, we wanted to put you in, but you just didn't win a couple more games? I mean, they basically laid out the path for Oregon to get into the tournament. It wasn't that far away. Like, two more wins. Like, maybe not losing to Washington State would have helped.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.